Welcome to another wrap-up edition of Section 247's The Goal Line Stand All Football All the Time. I am Michael Lipinski, joined as always by Brett Halpern. You can follow the show on all social media at GL Stand Show. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We are coming to you live from the Michael's Glass Company studio. Michael's Glass Company, serving the Philadelphia tri-state area since 1978. 215-338-3293. Tell them Mike and Brett sent you. We are a Sports Talk Philly partner, sportstalkphilly.com. And if there's any New York Sports Talk affiliates that would like to come on down and partner up, we're open to that too, because it's an Eagles fan and a Giant fan podcast. Brett, how are we? We're living in like this bizarro world where the Giants and the Browns are now on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, well, and think about it. Had Odell Beckham been healthy, then that really would have been an interesting storyline. Granted, there's no fans. I would have been really interested to see the crowd's reaction to Odell Beckham. I have a feeling he would have gotten booed, and that would have just completely taken him off his game. But there's going to be no crowd, and there's going to be no Odell. But nevertheless, it's still flexed. And you know what? Everyone should be happy because it was for a Cowboys game.
Yeah, exactly. Adam Schefter puts that in. He said, hey, this is so 2020 that the Cowboys have been flexed out of prime time. Cowboys Niners, I mean, that's a the Cowboys suck. Cowboys might be worse than the Eagles.
Very important game for the wild card, possibly.
Right.
So
it would have been a good-looking uniform matchup. That much I know.
Yeah, except I'm not really a fan of the teal or the aqua green cowboy pants.
It's only been that way for about 35 years.
I know, but I prefer the silver.
Understood. There's people here. No one wants to hear our take on the Cowboys pants.
Yeah.
Not in this neck of the woods, at least, nor your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Ohio State, let's get into this one real quick. Initially they were going to be shafted. They are getting a nice reprieve, it sounds like, from the Big Ten.
Yeah.
The Big Ten is reconsidering their stance. I think it's gone to a vote and it's going to get passed where a team no longer has to play six games to get into the Big Ten title game. Ohio State, Michigan canceled. What you hear there? Here, listen, you hear it? Yeah, that's corn. That's corn being thrown at a wall somewhere in Omaha.
Look, this is going to sound strange. I don't have a problem with it, right? Now, some of the games they missed due to their own COVID issues. Some of the games they missed due to other teams' COVID issues. I do have a feeling Michigan tried to screw Ohio State and try to arrange it in a way that they would, that Ohio State would miss out on the Big Ten title game. Look, at the end of the day, Ohio State, I don't necessarily know if they are one of the four best teams in this country. They are one of the best and most talented teams. This is a strange year. But I do think it is in the Big Ten's interest to have a member of their conference be in the college football playoffs. So why wouldn't you do everything in your power to make that happen? Not only would I say, hey, Ohio State, you can go play presumably Northwestern in the conference title game, I would actively try to set them up for a game this weekend to further build their resume, whether that is an in-conference game or an out-of-conference game. I don't know why, for instance, just on Twitter, someone was like, well, they could play Oregon. They were supposed to play Oregon prior to the world turning upside down. Why not do that?
Well, I guess they can't do it now because that'll really set off a firestorm, and rightfully so, because Nebraska, when the season first started, they had opportunities, granted, to play UT Chattanooga.
Yeah, exactly.
But they had an opportunity to add a game, and they were told no. So you do it now. I would imagine, this is just me and thinking out loud, I would imagine there'd be maybe some pending litigation there to recoup something, whether that be TV money, that kind of thing. Should they be allowed to do it? Absolutely. This is on the Big Ten for not allowing it to happen. We talked about it. There was a scenario where Maryland, it was good. it was all goofy. If Minnesota stayed out because of COVID, Ohio State was going to play Maryland because they were supposed to play earlier in the season. They didn't. It would have given Ohio State the sixth game. That would have bumped Rutgers. And we talked about, I think we talked about it on Night Talk. Well, if that's the case, like, why couldn't Rutgers schedule Temple down the road?
Yeah.
Because they're not playing right now because of issues against their opponents. This is a Big Ten failure. Hopefully we don't have to revisit it next year and it's just done and over with.
Well, yeah, I mean, these are unique circumstances relative to COVID. So, you know, I mean, will the Big Ten screw something up next year or in the future? Absolutely. But I have a hard time believing it's going to be something like this because this is just such a unique circumstance that everyone's dealing with. But either way, you know, to me, I don't view – yes, Ohio State is the recipient of the rule changing and the benefits of this, but that's because Ohio State is the team that could potentially represent the Big Ten in the college football playoffs. And to me, I almost, in a weird way, take comfort in it, in that it shows that the conference will do what's right for the best team. So whether, you know, maybe, God knows, maybe one day that's Rutgers, maybe one day that's Nebraska or Iowa, whomever. It is in all of the Big Ten's interest for Ohio State to get there. So let's just try to make this happen.
Agreed. And where I knew it was going to occur when there was a quote from Barry Alvarez, and I don't have it, but he, paraphrasing, said similar. Like, this is about the conference. This is about the conference looking. And here's a team that's been screwed. Yeah, they lost the game. But Wisconsin was arguably, before Northwestern decided to show up this year, the team to come out of the West. And they, in theory, claim a right to say, yeah, maybe we can make something work. But once Barry Alvarez was on board as a Big Ten fan, and I don't want to call myself a Big Ten purist, but it gave me a little bit of, okay, this is for the betterment. Here's a guy with a huge fan base trying to tell everyone this is for the best interest of the conference. So there's going to be people pissed off in Nebraska that they want to go back to the Big 12. There's probably some people over in Central PA that are all pissed off. Fuck them. You know, it is what it is. And in Michigan, but, you know.
Well, I don't know why Nebraska would want to go back to the Big 12 because they're not going to have anyone in the college football playoffs anyways. And they've been playing since early September. So
Nebraska, we'll get to that in the offseason. And I want to have a deep dive into the Nebraska football team, the organization, and the seemingly issues they're having with the Big 10. If you read anything from their fan base and some of the stuff on the boards, it's rather interesting. Yeah. But let's get to the other big news here. Greg Williams fired. Well, what do you think? I was going to talk about the quarterback change? No, come on now. Greg Williams fired. The Jets give up a Hail Mary touchdown at the end. Give up, air quotes. Who made the phone call during that game and said, yo, you got to let them score. We can't win this game.
So
Leon Hess, is he still around?
No, Leon Hess is not around. I don't know if Woody Johnson was doing it from the other side of the pond. But look, here's something to keep in mind. A, this is what Greg Williams does. This is his modus operandi, right? He sends the house. Now, you know, sometimes you would think that maybe situationally logic would dictate differently, but I forget who it was actually showed clips of previous Hail Mary situations where he has blitzed as opposed to the normal defense for the prevent defense would be to rush either three or four and send everyone else back in the end zone. The other thing to keep in mind is the play before, Derek Carr overthrows Nelson Aguilar, and in that play, Greg Williams played a three deep zone. So to him, and if I was him, he's like, look, my guys couldn't cover it even when they were supposed to in a prevent-like defense. So why don't I go back to what I know, which is send the house, and if the quarterback gets sacked, he can't throw the ball. Now, unfortunately, that's going to leave one-on-one matchups, and, you know, even though I think he's had a disappointing rookie year, Henry Ruggs does run like a legitimate 4.2340 or 4.2540, and he burned Lamar Jackson, the cornerback, and there you have it. And Greg Williams is gone.
Greg Williams is gone, and Jets fans everywhere can breathe a sigh of relief. There's rumors coming out of New York City. I don't know if you heard this. Boomer Esiason has hinted that Bill Cowher might be looking to get back in the coaching game. And this would make sense because Bill Cowher is a North Jersey guy now. That's where he settled in, obviously, for studio work for CBS. But where his daughter, I think, went to – was she Princeton or was she like Fairleigh Dickinson? Somewhere up there, right?
She was Princeton. What's his name? Jim Fossil's daughter was Fairleigh Dickinson.
Well, I wasn't thinking about Jim Fossil, I can tell you that much.
Well, no, but that's we were told that on our famous Fairleigh Dickinson tour.
Oh yeah, that's right. We got to get to that one day. That's an off-season story. The recruiting stories of Mike and Brett. We're gonna move on. It'd be interesting. Anyway, Bill Cowher.
Reaction to that is, look, was Bill Cowher a great coach? Absolutely. My kind of coach. I think there's been too much time that has passed. It's just not. And particularly, you know, I was saying this to a Jet fan the other day. You know, right now, Joe Douglas's main job is to court Trevor Lawrence to make sure he does not stay in school when he comes out. One good piece of news is that apparently the salary cap is not going to be as low as they initially thought, and it's going to be somewhere around where it is this year. It may not necessarily go up, but it's not going to go down $20 million, which is a good thing, which sort of dispels the one issue we talked about regarding Trevor Lawrence potentially, you know, staying in school. To me, even though Adam Gase obviously is an offensive coach, I would want to hire a respected offensive mind to further attract Trevor Lawrence to joining the team. Bill Cowher is a guy who hasn't coached anywhere since Super Bowl 40, right? And he's a defensive guy.
Oh, I agree with you. My first thought was, oh, is his contract coming up for an end at CBS and he's trying to leverage it. Let's get to the big news on this front. The Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday made a quarterback change mid-game. Carson Wentz benched in favor of Jalen Hurts. Let's talk about the game itself here and how that kind of played out with those two. Carson Wentz obviously did not look good, as has been the case all year. Now, I will preface this again, and I've been on beating this drum for weeks now. Yeah, this comes down to coaching. And you know at what point I realized after – and this I didn't see Baldinger. Baldinger talked about this after the fact. But I love watching the coaches film. I've been watching coaches film, as have you, for, God, almost 25, 30 years now, right? Well, we watched it as players at different levels. I watched it as a coach. I've watched it as an official to better my craft. I enjoy just watching all different coaches tape. Gives me a better aspect of the game. That's not just the Eagles, but I watch that one. I actually showed my son, who I don't think is going to play football. I said, come here, you got to watch this. The first play of the game. I said, I think their blocking scheme is on inside away. He's like, what do you mean? I said, if you have a guy on you, you're going to block him. If not, you look to your inside. If someone's there, you probably take them. If not, you're going to the away player. I said, in this case, and I pointed it out, I said, he's going to get the linebacker. This is he being Jordan Mailata, who completely blows the assignment of the first play of the game. And just the whole play gets screwed up. Miles Sanders, I think, gains 3 yards. He's hit right in the backfield.
Yeah.
It comes down to coaching. Every week I've been saying this. Carson Wentz has not been playing well, but this comes down to coaching. You would at least get the first play right.
Yeah.
And no, didn't happen. The Eagles just looked sloppy, as they have all year long. That there's no separation from the receivers. I mean, none. And when there is, Carson Wentz is so gun-shy. There was a play in the game. I can find it. I can screenshot it, where he had a nice pocket, and he actually had a receiver to the top, who I think might have been Rager, ready to beat his man. And if you just lead him, it's a big play. Carson Wentz continued to roll and like threw a bad pass to one of the tight ends. They're a mess. This change where you hear about this spark that Jalen Hurts created, and I'm not an anti-Hurts guy, but he did nothing for me on Sunday. Everyone's so amazed. Oh my God, did you see what he did? What did he do? Oh, he ran out of the pocket when he was getting pressured. The same thing Carson Wentz should be doing. Is probably told not to do, a la Donovan McNabb. No. You know, no, stay in the pocket. You know, whatever. I this has been my take on it. It's not going to matter. Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz, Joe Montana, Randall Cunningham, Tom Brady, Johnny Unitas, Norm Snead, whoever else you want to bring back, slinging Sammy Ball. It's not going to matter until you run the football and you actually have a general manager that can put players on the field that are going to be successful.
I agree with everything you said. So I would say, you know, it personnel hurts because the offensive line is – they're just not getting it done. It's personnel and coaching, because the coaches seem to be unable to get that line to play with a certain level of cohesion. Jordan Mailata –
they're not being coached up.
Well, it's a mix of talent and they're not being able to – it's either talent in that they either never had it, or a guy like Jason Kelce. And I'm not shitting on him because I respect his game, who is past his prime and also banged up, right? So you had, you know, a guy like Isaac Seabalo never really developed. So that you know, it's a mix of those things. And then you're also not getting coaching. They're not receiving coaching that's getting the best out of them. You know, I also think maybe it's time to try Jordan Mailata at guard at some point. I feel like he might. I think he struggles in space.
This one play, we'll retweet Brian Baldinger's thoughts on it because he said the same thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, I when I watched it, I'm like, and then the first thing I always watch is the linemen, because like we're linemen at heart. I want to see what our guys are doing, and I'm like, oh man, like that's like. What happened? How the linebacker get there? Watch it back again. And it was like, maybe it's him not knowing the game, right? He's a rugby guy, but that comes back to coaching.
Yeah.
It comes firmly back to coaching, where that linebacker should have been his guy all along. At no point, unless there's a fullback, there's not. So, you know, I don't know.
But you know,
that's just one play.
Of course. But the problem also is it was the first play. And it was, even though Miles Sanders was able to gain a few yards, in Doug Peterson's mind, it was, okay, I need to stray away from the run. Right. And then that further hurts the process because, as we discussed in the preview, the best way to attack the Green Bay defense is up the gut and run the ball. And that, you know, there was no reliance on the run game. It was, okay, we're going to run occasionally, but we're just going to let Carson Wentz drop back and he's going to go do his thing. And his thing hasn't been working all season. So whether it's a mix of the lineman blocking, whether it's a mix of the receiver's ability to get open. And, you know, I go back to on NFL Network, NFL Radio, they had Ron Jaworski, who, you know, another guy I really respect his opinion. And he talked about, I actually didn't agree with the way he said it, but he said Carson Wentz's mechanics are off. And what he said by that was that he's not seeing the field. Well, to me, that means it's the mental game and the mental mechanics, as opposed to his footwork is off, his release point is off, his elbow's too high, too low. It's not that. It's just he's like, he's not seeing the field. And you know, so it comes down to a variety of those things, personnel and coaching. And I think it makes sense. It's clear to me the coaching staff and the higher ups now believe there is no chance for them to win the division, even though they're only a game and a half back. But they believe, okay, it's done. So I do think it does make sense to see what you have.
And we're going to get to that in a second.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to that a little bit more. But in this game, in this microcosm, what'd you think of Jalen Hurts? I mean, to me, it was okay. Like, I wasn't like, wow, this is something here. Like, this is crazy. When Carson Wentz started his first game, this is a guy that they made a bunch of trades for to get him at the number two pick. When he started his first game, there was some of that Wentz magic, and it was like, okay, all right, you can see what you have here. The Hurts thing, I don't know. I mean, okay, he can move. He throws a nicer football, but
so you know, it's interesting you mentioned that for a few reasons. First, I agree with you. When Wentz came in, you knew there was something kind of special there. You know, if you looked at them, if you compared Wentz and Hurts as just prospects coming out of college, Wentz was far ahead than Hurts was. And really, Jalen Hurts, up until his last year when he transferred to Oklahoma,
you're going to get a bunch of people there. You got a bunch of people that are going to be like, oh, what are you talking about? He went to Alabama and he got benched for Tua. Yeah. So,
and even then, he wasn't considered a great, he wasn't a great passer. He was a leader. He is a leader. He's a guy who ingratiates himself with a football team in the locker room. As soon as he got to Oklahoma, they immediately named him a captain. I mean, you saw the tapes of him hitting the weight room after a game where they won by 40 because he wasn't happy with his performance. But he really didn't become a solid passer until he got to Oklahoma. I wasn't turned off by what I saw from him. I wasn't wowed. I was intrigued. I'll put it that way. And given everything else going on this particular year, you have, what, 4 games left? I have no problem seeing what he is right now.
I agree with you. So the coaches made the decision. They're done. Yeah. They have just waved the white flag for the division, and rightfully so. It's amazing. We've switched. We were talking about this yesterday on the phone. I think it was yesterday we were talking about where we've now switched roles. You were all upset with the Redskins or Washington and them winning. I'm like, it's a great story. It's excellent. Alex Smith, who cares? And I'm like, oh yeah, now the Giants and the Redskins are in a division chase. So you're bought in, and I'm just sitting here thinking, what are we going to see out of Jalen Hurts? Look, it's the right time at this point to make this move. The move arguably could have been made a week ago, but I don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it. We put a poll out on GL Stan Show. Has Carson Wentz played his last meaningful snaps for the Eagles? 64% of the pollsters say no, he has not. So I find that interesting. We're going to get to a little bit more on a Football Friday, but this is the time. This is a time to make sure that you're going to get what you get out of Jalen Hurts. Agreed?
Yeah. Here's the problem. And this is because of Carson Wentz's contract. He's not going anywhere for the next, really, at least next year, more than likely the next 2 years. He's not, you can't trade him. You can't cut him.
Is this now? Let's see what Jalen Hurts has to flip him.
It's either let's see what Jalen Hurts has to flip him,
because they can't both be on. They can't both be there.
Yeah, they can. Or else it's Jalen. What if in the next 4 weeks? I'm not even talking about the division. What if in the next 4 weeks Jalen Hurts comes in and just lights it up to the point where you're like, yeah, this is our guy next year. And whatever, you have a $60 million man on the bench.
That's a lot of money on the bench.
Whatever, you have to play the best guy.
We've always talked about the advantage of a rookie quarterback, a guy coming in that's young, is the salary. You're going to get him at a better rate. Could the Eagles make a deal with someone? Everyone's pointing to the Colts, right, for the Frank Reich factor.
Yeah.
Whoever, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
And say, all right, Carson, here's what we have going on. We have an opportunity for you to go to Winnipeg, home of Kenny Omega, world champion, you know, the Jackal. We are going to need you. We're going to trade you so you have a chance to go start. However, we need you to renegotiate. Can it be done that way? I don't even know.
I don't. So I don't profess to be a cap expert. And actually, that's one thing this offseason I would like to, I don't know if it's read about, talk about with people who are in the know to learn. Absolutely. I that's kind of one of my goals for this offseason is to learn all the ins and outs with respect to the cap. But it's my understanding, if you trade a guy, it doesn't relieve you of those guaranteed.
No,
I understand. So, and even if you renegotiate, you can't. So no matter what, if you trade him, you have dead money. You can't even use the money.
And it's 30, 60, 30.
It's 60.
I thought it was 59. I thought it was 34, maybe 34 next year.
It's 34 in 2022.
So
no, sorry. It's 20. Forgive me. It's 59 next year, 24 in 2022. So
$83 million wrapped up in. You're going to have $83 million of dead money sitting on your bench on top of the idiot kicker that you already have. That can't make a field goal that you paid. You have Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, the Eagles are going to be in cap hell.
Slightly different situation because it's not as extreme. But remember, the Seahawks in 2012 had signed Matt Flynn from the Packers. Obviously, it was not Carson Wentz money, but there was a decent amount of money tied into it. And they drafted Russell Wilson in the third round. And Russell Wilson made it so obvious to everyone he was the guy. Now, Jalen Hurts may come in and be so-so, and you just give – Carson Wentz needs a break. Frankly, I would tell Carson Wentz to go home and, like, take a nap. I really don't even think there's any benefit to him being around this. That's how much I think he needs a break. But, yeah, that is the problem with – and I wouldn't even say that the Eagles did a poor job in signing Carson Wentz, the structure of it. They went all in the same way the Packers went all in on Aaron Rodgers and the Chiefs went all in on Patrick Mahomes. It's just it hasn't worked out, and particularly so early in the life of the contract, because that's when you can't get rid of a guy. So I
agree with you. I mean, the Eagles' thought process on signing Carson Wentz is perfectly fine.
Yeah,
they should not. There's a lot of people they should be criticized for signing idiot kickers, receivers that don't play, that take snaps away from other guys, that kind of thing. However, Carson Wentz was not one of them. It's actually a very team friendly contract when you look at in the big scope of things for a quarterback.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting. We'll talk more on Friday about what to kind of maybe expect coming up against the Saints with Jalen Hurts. You know, he's officially been named the starter. It seems like the team is on board, bought in. We'll keep an eye on it, and we'll talk more about it Friday. Frankly, I'm done talking Eagles today.
Okay. Right. What do you want to talk about?
So everyone should check out our partner, Thrive Fantasy, and the Thrive Fantasy app. They are, for a $2,500 buy-in, for a $25 buy-in, they're giving away $5,000 guaranteed on Thursday Night Football. Let's play along here. We haven't done this in a little while.
So yeah, it's a good game.
We'll play the props. Yeah, on TV last night, they said, oh, it's a rematch of Super Bowl 52, one of those guys. And I'm like, what? 53, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of. Not really, though.
What's a rematch of the teams?
The teams, but not quarterbacks. Cam Newton, over, under, over 95 points, under 105 points, 200.5 passing yards.
Under.
Yeah, I'd go under too. Let's see here. What else do we have? On the Jared Goff, over 100 points, under 100 points. So kind of sitting there even. 282.5 passing yards.
Under.
Jared Goff, over 110, under 90. A combo here. Passing TDs and interceptions, 2.5. So remember, that could be three picks, two touchdowns and a pick, so on and so forth.
Over.
You think so?
Yeah. I could see it over.
Over 90 points, under 110, 68.5 total receiving yards for Cooper Kupp.
Under.
Yeah, the Rams like to spread it out. I think I probably go.
Belichick has McVay's number.
That is true. So over under over 100, under 100, 69.5 total yard receiving yards for Robert Woods.
I'm going to go over because I think Belichick always likes to take away one guy, and I feel like the guy he will take away is Cooper Kupp, not Robert Woods.
That's my
reasoning.
Fair enough. Last one, over 90 points, under 110, 6.5 total points for kicker of the Los Angeles Rams, Matt Gay. Not an idiot kicker. He might actually be able to make an extra point.
Over.
So two field goals, two extra points.
I think this is going to be a defensive. I'm really looking forward to this game. You know, I know we've mentioned it in passing and, you know, maybe next week, because we're really at the tail end of the season, we'll do more of a deeper dive on how the playoffs are starting to shape up. But, you know, that New England team, if Cam Newton never he was not the same the first few weeks after COVID. And there's something about them I like. I don't know what it is. You know, look, I am partial to the Patriots because of the Rutgers connection, because of McCourty's. I like the way they play defense. I appreciate it. There's something about that. And even their offensive line's good. You know, they kind of just pound the rock. It's an interesting team. And it's a team I wouldn't want to make the playoffs and wouldn't want to play in the first round.
There, I noticed it last night during the Joe Webb special broadcast that they were talking about the Patriots. And I'm like, oh boy, man, they're starting to – kind of get it right at the right time. Like, yeah, that's not good, because if New England can get it right now, talked about it too, like with Pittsburgh. Well, I think we should address that real quick. So Pittsburgh loses their first game. They're 11-1 to Washington. Now everyone's like, oh, well, yeah, well, they're not very good. I mean, for being 11-1, they're leaking oil. They're not playing great football. They're not really beating anybody.
Nor have they, you know, if you look back at them the entire year, you know, the game with the Eagles was very competitive. The game with the Giants was very competitive. When they played Dallas a few weeks back, when Dallas had no one, they almost lost. They almost lost to the Ravens pep squad. This team is not that good. You know, and I would encourage everyone to go on our website, because I know later on you're going to post our top five and bottom five. I'll just give it away. They didn't even make my top five this week.
And it's interesting. So they're 11-1. They're not making your power rankings. They're right on the fringe of mine. But then you got a team like New England, who not 11-1, but 5-6.
And so I think 6-6.
6-6. They're going in two completely different directions.
Yeah.
I mean, they're two teams that could pass in the night. If they matched up today in the playoffs, I would say New England is the favorite in that game.
Yeah. And that, to me, is the great thing about football. It's you know, how you're playing come December. And both of us have enjoyed magical runs of our teams when you get hot at the right time. And that's what it's about.
Well, let's get to that in a second. So for $25 of a buy-in, you can, you know, win $5K guaranteed on Thrive. There's also buy-ins at $5, $2, $10. You name it, they have it. Thrive app, thrivefantasy.com. Deposit $25. Use code SEC247 and get some free cash with that. Try and win that $5,000 and, hey, prop up. Let's talk about magical runs in December, because all of a sudden, here come the New York Football Giants. They're in first place in the division. They are playing well. They are playing with a little bit of an attitude. I think the coach is starting to rub off on at least the defense. Which, again, I've been high on that defense all year long.
Yeah,
I hear people talking, players talking, the way they're playing. There's a little bit of that Philadelphia Lansdale Catholic attitude that Joe Judge is bringing in.
Well, I thought of all people you would appreciate. Do you know what Brian Baldinger calls Joe Judge?
No, what does he call him?
Father Judge.
Yeah, but that's another Catholic league. that's another Catholic League school. I'm offended by that. They're rivals in some sense.
I don't think Lansdowne Catholic is a rival to Father Judge.
They're in the same league.
Do they even play each other?
I have no idea. I'm going to look it up now.
Lansdowne Catholic's a smaller school.
They're all small, unless you're St. Joe's Prep.
Oh, I thought you would appreciate that. Come on.
Yeah, Baldinger's
of all people. Look, I agree with you. But anyways, look, I'm bought into the extent of now that, you know, we're not getting the second pick. And guess what? The putts of East Rutherford, he's staying. It is what it is. He's, because really the end of the day, one of the reasons that the Giants are competitive right now and playing well is because his free agent acquisitions this year, he didn't hit them out of the park, right? Logan Ryan, Blake Martinez, James Bradberry, even the kicker, Graham Gano. I mean, he did a really nice job. And you know what? Now the draft is starting to look good. Andrew Thomas is starting to play well. You know, you talk about the defense. That offensive line is starting to play really well. I mean, they ran for 190 yards against the Seahawks, and they're doing it without Saquon Barkley, who might be the most talented back in the league. They're doing it with Wayne Gallman and Alfred Morris. I mean, Alfred Morris, I mean, there was a funny tweet someone had where they're like, the Seahawks just lost to 2014 because it was the last time Alfred Morris had two touchdowns and the last time Colt McCoy won a game as a starter. So, I mean, and also the fact that they did that with a backup, it was very impressive. They're doing it with, look, and Leonard Williams, who just won NFC Defensive Player of the Week at 2.5 sacks, he's playing really well. And you're doing it with guys, you know, seventh-round picks like Carter Coughlin, and they're literally starting Mr. Irrelevant from this year, Tay Crowder, who's playing very well. And finally, someone seems to have hit the right dial with Jabril Peppers, because Jabril Peppers is starting to earn himself a lot of money. You know, so you talk about the Eagles and now you talk about the Giants, the coaching is night and day, you know, because people talk about, and you saw it when you were watching the Giants and the Seahawks, Russell Wilson had no idea what was going on.
I was just going to say, I mean, it's clear that the Giants players, Mr. Irrelevant, there's a reason you get a parade to Disney, well, in most years, when you're the last guy picked. This guy's playing good football because he's being coached well.
Yeah.
And for the record, Lansdowne Catholic is in the Philadelphia Catholic League Blue Division. Judge is in the red. In a normal year, Judge didn't play this year.
Yeah, I know. They don't play each other. So, therefore, you should actually like that.
No, this year they didn't play each other. This year.
They don't play each other. That's like Cherokee going to play Riverside. That doesn't happen. And I'm not shitting on Riverside for all of our Riverside fans out there. So, yeah, I just lost the town for us. Anyways, look, I appreciate what the Giants are doing. I think one thing I am definitely all in on our coach. And the thing is, I think we're going to lose our defensive coordinator to a head coaching spot either this year or next year. That seems to be one of the problems about that. You have something you're going to say.
So to kick off the 2019 Philadelphia Catholic League season a year ago, Lansdowne Catholic 44, Father Judge 42.
Oh, wow. Okay, whatever.
I'm right.
All right, whatever. It's still a good nickname. Come on. By the way, what happened to the defense in that game?
I don't know. I wasn't there. I was in Pensauken officiating a non-defensive game.
Okay, well, I'm just saying that there was no defense for that game. Anyways, all you had to do was accept that it was a decent nickname.
It's a rival school.
But it's not to everyone else in the country. That's great. I understand that. What do you want? The guy's fingers are going in 8 different directions. It screws up the blood flow to his brain. And just accept the nickname. He's such a putz.
Who's MBAPC?
MBAC.
Not Senior Bonner, Archbishop Pendergrass, co-op. Never mind. I don't know. Let's get back to the Giants.
Oh, God. Yeah, so look, it is funny, though, because now I'm all in to the point of I would like them to win the division. Because at this point, whatever, they're going to get the 20th pick of the draft. I do not believe that this team is going on a run. And frankly, as you mentioned right before, we talked about off air, I actually now think with Washington beating Pittsburgh, Washington's going to win the division. There's four games left. Washington has it might not be the correct order. They have the Niners, the Seahawks, the Panthers, and the Eagles. I think they lose to the Seahawks, but that's the only definitive loss. The Giants have the Cardinals, the Browns, which they just flexed. The Giants never do well in primetime. They have Baltimore, and then they have Dallas. There's one game where I see them absolutely winning, and that's Dallas. So I think at the end of the day, Washington's going to end up going 8-8. The Giants are going to finish at 7-9. Washington's going to win the division. That's what I think happens. And then that goes to, guess what? You had all those close games, the Giants, that is. You could have won. Giants should have beaten the Eagles the first time. Should have beaten Tampa. They could have beaten Chicago. They could have beaten the Rams. Could have beaten Dallas the first time. If you won one or two of those, you would have won the division. But you didn't.
So the Giants are trending towards 8-8, 9-7, 7-9, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
Possible division championship. This completely changes the outlook now, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, is there more of a comfort? You even said to me, got to admit, Daniel Jones, before the injury, was playing pretty well.
Yeah, he wasn't making mistakes. And for two straight games, he did not make any mistakes. And it shows you, if you have a competent defense, if you're not making mistakes, and if you're ending every drive in either a score or a kick, meaning a punt, let the other team have to earn the win. That's what it comes down to. And I trust that I still don't completely trust Gettleman, but I trust the coaching staff. Then you have, I mean, look, some Giant fans are getting way ahead of themselves. I was reading a few tweets, and there's a few stories about, I remember Gettleman was running the Panthers. And the Panthers won a division at 7-8-1. What happened the next year? The Panthers won 15-1 and went to the Super Bowl. I don't, you know, like, let's calm down, okay? There's still a lot of deficiencies with this team.
Well, yeah, but so we talk about it with the Eagles, where for weeks I was saying, you got to let my Mailata play. You got to let my Mailata work out his issues of not knowing what line to pick up the linebacker.
Yeah.
He needed to be working on that for a month already before now. You need to let Jalen Hurts play because you want to see what you have in him. The Giants, in essence, did that all season long with their line. So now, without a preseason, you have this. I'm not saying they're going to go 15-1 and go to the Super Bowl. But I think, and Giants fans, this is an Eagles fan talking.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at the big picture here, the Giants have a quarterback. The Giants have a decent wide receiving core. Nothing great, but
they need another guy.
Yeah, they need another dude. They have a tight end. They have a tight end who, in theory,
he's maddening. That guy is right. It's literally one good play, one bad play.
Right.
One good play.
If he could be consistent and put it, you know who he reminds me of? LJ Smith from an Eagles perspective. Where you look at him and you say, this is an athletic freak. This guy, look at this guy. He should be able to do so much. And then you just can't put it together. You're going to have, hopefully, for the Giants fans, Saquon Barkley coming back. You have proven running backs right now. There's no reason, and the defense, which I already like, a year down the line to say, these guys, they went through their growing pains a year ago. Now, here they are. Dallas is down in the division. Eagles are down in the division. What's going on in Washington? I don't know.
The thing is, Washington, I don't believe, Alex Smith is not the long term. It is a great story.
He's definitely not.
He's not the long term option there. So, by the way, when you were watching it, did you see when his leg was bleeding?
Yes.
He got, and I was flipping out, but then they said it was the other leg. And I was like pulling from the game, and it had nothing to do with the fact that I wanted Washington to lose. It all had to do with the well-being of Alex Smith. I hate watching that guy get hit.
I will agree with you where I think that the Redskins are playing with the most momentum right now. I think there's a clear momentum with that team, whatever that is. It's the way they play defense. It's the quarterback. They're clearly rallying around him. The defense plays a nice brand of football. But I think long-term here, when you look at it, there's quarterback chaos in Dallas. There's quarterback chaos in Philadelphia. There's quarterback chaos in Washington. Which team of the division is the most stable? It's the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, well, the next interesting thing will be I'm not signing, as much as I like him and respect his abilities, I'm not signing Saquon Barkley to a long-term deal. Let him walk and get a third-round compensatory pick.
It's a Todd Gurley kind of thing, right? You know, you can't. And this is
Zeke Elliott doing right now?
Nothing.
Christian McCaffrey hasn't done anything all year. I mean, Derrick Henry is like the one guy. And guess what? At some point, he's going to break down.
Absolutely.
So, going back to the Giants, like you meant, and I think I texted this to you on Sunday. Watching that game, it's nice to see the light bulb turn on for the young players. And that's fun to watch as a Giant fan. So
amazing what happens when you have coaches that actually know how to coach.
Yeah.
And who do the Giants have coming up? That's right. They got the Browns. The Browns.
No. This week is Cardinals.
Oh, this week is. Oh, the Browns is 2 weeks away. That's right.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks away.
Do they go to Phoenix? No, Phoenix comes to New Jersey. We discussed this already.
Arizona,
right. The 49ers are Phoenix. I'm sorry.
Yeah. They didn't change the end zone.
No, they didn't change the end zone. How bullshit is that? So they do all this work around that stadium. Like they took the banners and they put it in there, you know, so when you're watching it, you couldn't paint the end. It's red. Paint the end zone red. Use white paint. I mean, come on. You went half-ass on the damn thing.
What's the difference?
It bothers me.
I understand it bothers you, and it's not like I enjoyed seeing Arizona on it, but it's whatever. They gave up their stadium. So
not by keep it, not by
I understand because Santa Clara's trying to be mindful of the public. I don't know. What do you want?
You should have just painted the end zone red and put 49ers in white. It's not difficult.
Just do the diagonal stripes.
Well, then that's chintzy.
That's not chintzy.
Yeah, I hate when Pittsburgh does it. One end zone says Pittsburgh. The other one says it was the diagonal stripes when the pit was playing. Like, why? Why can't you just put Pittsburgh in both end zones? It's the same thing. Why
can't they have logos on both sides of their helmet?
That's a good question. I don't know why they don't.
It's not like the other side has a number.
No. But speaking of the numbers, I feel like Washington should have a stripe on their helmet. Do you agree or disagree?
I completely agree, but it's still a nice look.
It needs the stripe.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you have the rooster, the chicken, and the hen. Something's missing.
On that note, head to the website, glstandshow.podomatic.net. Later on today, we will have the power rankings, the five up, five down from both myself and Brett. We also have our uni watching on there as well. Right now, we're going to get to Brett's choices for four pretzels and a lack because I can't find my paper. So it's your show today. Let's get to it.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
All right, so my first pretzel for today goes out to the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. They are now 10-0. They won over the previously number 13 ranked BYU Cougars 22-17. They held Zach Wilson to 240 passing yards. It was a great game. It literally came down to the last yard. I believe now they're ranked in the top 15. And to beat BYU really does add a sense of legitimacy to them. I'm not saying that they belong in the college football playoffs, but this is a very good group of five team. And considering that they recently made the jump to Division I FBS, I give them a lot of credit. I also give them a lot of credit for having the gall to have a teal football field and everything else. But, you know, so Coastal Carolina, Chanticleer, it's some kind of weird bird. But
yeah, it's like a chicken. I saw them.
It's a chicken. I saw
of some sort. I saw Coastal Carolina memes floating around on social media that their cock is bigger than South Carolina's, and I laughed.
But so you mean so like cocked. Yeah, I got that. Yeah, but so you mean somewhere do people eat these things?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
But you're saying it's like a chicken.
It's people a chicken. Eat chicken. It's like a hen. I don't know.
Well, there's like Cornish game hen.
Chanticleer is also a musical ensemble, for those who wanted to know.
It's a townhome community in Cherry Hill.
Yeah. Chanticleer animal?
Just say, is it edible?
Hold on.
Like, is there anywhere where you can order a Chanticleer?
I don't know. Let's try this. Hold on. Right? I don't even know. How do I do my...
Edibles, E-D-I-B-L-E.
No, I'm going to try and ask... I got the new iPhone. You make things so difficult. Hey Siri, what is a Chanticleer?
Okay, I found this on the web for what is the Chanticleer. Check it out.
Yeah, it doesn't help me. Rockadoodle. Let's try it again.
You're not asking the right question. I want to know, is it edible? Hey
Siri, is a Chanticleer edible?
Dead.
Yeah, no, it's a pear tree. Keep talking. Who's your number three?
What about my number two?
Who was your number four?
Oh God, we're off the rail. So my number two is actually my first ever repeat pretzel winner. And it's not even someone who I necessarily have a huge personal affinity for. He just has had that good a season. So Devonta Smith, wide receiver, Alabama, enjoy your second pretzel of the season. So Alabama traveled to LSU, and even though LSU is not that great this year, it's still at LSU. It's still Alabama-LSU. That's a rivalry. To have 8 receptions, 233 yards, 3 touchdowns, you deserve a pretzel. So did you find out about the Chanticleer
being edible? I did. Yeah, well, I guess it's edible. So Chanticleer comes from Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, which we probably should have read at some point in our life. I don't know. I probably faked my way through that with a clip notes. more specifically, he comes from the Nun's Priest Tale. Definitely cliff note this whole thing. A story within the Canterbury Tales. The Chanticleer is a proud and fierce rooster who dominates the barnyard.
So it's a rooster.
It's a big bad rooster.
So it's probably not very tasty.
I made the rooster.
Okay. Thank you, Rube. My number three pretzel goes out to Baker Mayfield, quarterback Cleveland Browns, who with their 41-35 win over the Tennessee Titans has guaranteed that the Browns are at least going to have their first winning season since 2007. He was 25 of 33 for 334 yards, 4 touchdowns in that win over Tennessee. I was honestly shocked. I thought Tennessee was going to beat them handily. And Cleveland, you know, because we talked about, for instance, when Cleveland played Philly, and I thought that Philly could win because I'm not that impressed with Cleveland. The Cleveland that showed up against Tennessee was very good. So shout out to Baker Mayfield. I can't stand his commercials.
The commercials are awful. He's a very bad actor. Our horrible actor. His commercials suck, but his play this week was very good.
Yeah. So that is my fourth pretzel goes out to the New England Patriot defense for pitching a shutout against the Los Angeles Chargers. 45-0 win. The Chargers may not be very good. They have a bad record, but they put up points on people, and New England just shut them down. So, you know, if you're going to pitch a shutout, I'm going to give you a pretzel. Now, my lap.
I agree with you on LA. It was, or excuse me, New England. LA puts up a lot of points. And yeah. It's interesting. Did you see that the Patriots are staying out there? I mean, a smart move. Obviously, they're not going to fly back on from Sunday to, I guess, Thursday, but they camped themselves there in Los Angeles. Does not bode well for the Rams.
No, not particularly. Forgive me. I'm trying to say five things at once. I believe the Patriots. So I think they just broke a record in terms of one team playing in the same stadium in less than a week. Or is the first time this is happening since I think it was the Frankfurt Yellow Jackets played the Staten Island Stapletons two times in a row at Thompson Stadium in Staten Island on like a Sunday and a Wednesday. Because think about it, they're going to be playing on a Sunday and a Thursday.
I believe it. And like we talked about the Stapletons and the old precursor to the National Football League, football 7 days a week.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to your lap.
Terrible. Take a lap. God awful. Get going.
So the Chicago Bears started out the season 5-1. They're now 5-7. Mitchell Trubisky came in and played again. Didn't play terribly, but couldn't get the job done. They lost again this week. And my lap goes to their general manager, Ryan Pace, who I believe is on his way out after this season. Bears fans, I think for probably the next 50 years, are going to have to live with the fact that they traded up in a draft to draft Mitch Trubisky when they could have chosen Deshaun Watson or this guy named Patrick Mahomes. Had they drafted either of those guys, they could have perhaps already won a Super Bowl, particularly with some of the defensive players that they've had on this team. But Mitch Trubisky doesn't get it done. With all due respect, Nick Foles isn't getting it done. Whomever else you have there, but that's why Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are going to be losing a job.
So you're telling me that Chicago needs a quarterback. That's a good spot for Carson Wentz. You can go throw him up there with Nick Foles and see what happens.
If you okay, going back to this, if you trade Carson Wentz for next year, the Eagles will essentially have to play an entire team that is comprised only of people making the league minimum. Okay. That's the only,
there has to be a way. We'll get to it. And I'm not advocating it. So I'm just saying that's the reality.
I
agree with you. The Rich Kotite incarnate is up there in the Windy City. On that note, we're going to wrap up this here program. We'll be back on Friday for our Football Friday show. Check us out on all social media at GL Stan Show, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, glstan.podomatic.net, sportstalkphilly.com. Go check out Michael's Glass Company. And this one's for you.
From the 12, Jones keeps, gets a block, takes off, and he is gone. Trying to stay up. Right, and he trips absolutely all alone, and he trips.